Mihi Nui, and a very good morning to you, Auckland. It's 5 minutes past nine, and you're listening to 104.6 Planet FM and Keep Auckland Beautiful. I'm going to jump right into today's extensive interview with Kelly, Whenua Warrior. Good morning, Kelly, and welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you very much, Ray.
It's a pleasure to have you, and it's... Wow. We've just had a pre-recording discussion that's got quite in-depth quite quickly, which to me is a foreshadows an awesome interview. So, you're from Whenua Warrior. That's your charitable trust?
It is, yes. Yeah. So, Whenua Warrior was a charitable trust that I started to build out into the Feed the Community.
Okay. And what is... Well, actually, let's just go to the Charities Act. What are the charitable aims of Whenua Warrior? Because that'll start our conversation.
Perfect. Well, the vision of Whenua Warrior is to be able to have an edible, accessible organic garden for every New Zealander. And our mission is to be able to feed the community, teach the community to feed themselves, but also empower them to feed each other.
Wow, that's really exciting. And if I translate that for the non-initiated, does that come down to we need a lot more community gardens and backyard gardens?
Absolutely, yeah. So it's my belief that we could start creating a movement of food sovereignty throughout New Zealand if we all return back to the ways of our people pre-colonisation, where we used to build gardens and celebrate togetherness via the whenua and via the land.
Right. Now, I've interviewed guests in the past who have been all about food resilience and how important it is, both culturally and from a climate change perspective, and with a lot of them with an Auckland focus, because Auckland has some of the best arable land in New Zealand. And we are
absolutely.
And we are slowly paving it with suburbs.
And that's, it's a painful it's a painful thing to watch, especially when we know the quality of the soil and what we could actually be using it for to better the people, not only in an environmental sense, but in a mental sense as well as holistic, as well as financially as well. It's better for us to return to the land rather than return to a box and earn money to be able to buy it.
Yes, and pay somebody else to grow it either in a lab or on lesser quality land.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right. So rather than asking why community gardens, why you? What attracted you to the whole concept of getting back to the land?
That's a good question. I am a person who understands community quite well. So I've lived in a few different communities, including overseas. Grew up in Auckland and am originally from the north, in Okanone in Northland. My goals are actually to learn about the community and what the community needs before we go in with a garden idea. So in my mind, community understands their problems. They also have the solutions. It's just sometimes that they need someone to nudge them to be able to bring that community together, to be able to celebrate food together, grow it together, and succeed as a community via food as well.
Yeah. Have we, and by we, I don't just mean Pākehā, but Māori as well, are we suffering from a lack of that personal connection to the land? I'm much worse with Pākehā than Māori, but are we all drifting further and further from the land?
I think I've got a very un-PC answer to that.
That's all right. That's all right.
But I think if we take it from the other side, rather than who we are as tangata or who we are as people of the land, if we take it from the land's perspective, I feel as if Papa Tuanuku is waiting for us to stop being so dumb. I feel like
I don't think that's on PC, but carry on.
I think she's sitting here waiting for us to realise that she is actually the answer to a majority of our problems, including a food issue, but land in general. If you take an example, we've got Pukekohe being built over with concrete structures and different housing types are going into Pook's Cove, but that soil there is actually quite valuable to a few people for different types of growth, whether it be a continued resource for potato growers, whether it be a new source. Organic growers would know that when you start off a garden, you normally start off with a root veg like potato so that your soil can be prepared for the next season. So Pukekohe is quite a valuable area because it's had years and years and years of potato growth. So a lot of people would find value in that land. But what we're doing now and what we're doing within the future as well is building on top of soil to have houses that we potentially can't afford to live in, which means we'll have to work to be able to get our food and our housing, which takes us away from the land in the first place. So really, if we cut out all that middle and start utilising the land in a way that not only we benefit, but Papatūānuku benefits from as well, then I believe that would be a better way to live for all people.
An example I use, and correct me if I haven't understood you right, is Onehunga, which was the breadbasket of Auckland until a century ago. And that's Māori and Pākehā. So in the 19th century, it was feeding Auckland, just Onehunga. And then they built a beautiful suburbia over top of it.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
The best land going. And they stopped growing in Onehunga in any quantity. And, of course, it all moved further south to that very land you're talking about, Pukekohe. But my point there is now nobody can use that land, that beautiful soil, for that purpose. And those that do, some even find that the land has been spoiled by, toxic leavings from previous industries and that sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot of avenues to fight the misuse of land. And one of them would be to go toward the industrial side and fight off the big giants. But with Senua Warrior, what we do is we come to the person inside the home. So rather than hitting the big fat target right in the middle of their forehead, what we do is we find the community, find the family that needs it, and then come into their backyard and build a garden for them there. We find the one person who's put their hand up who is a teacher at a school who would like a garden at their school or at their kura or kohanga reo kindies. We try to find the whenua warrior, if we can call that, of the community, to be able to run the garden and to put their hand up and say that, yes, they do care enough to be able to grow food, to be able to supply it to the people of that particular housing or school or church, papakāinga, marae. We concentrate more on connecting the people to the land in that sense so that they can create a community around the garden. So in some cases, it's not actually about the garden, it's about the people.
Sure, because I imagine a lot of people who now live in suburbia and, as you say, work not only to pay for the house but work to pay for the food, are now so disconnected they would say, well, why should I bother? Why should I care?
Absolutely, and a lot of people don't actually realise that they can do it. As an example, professional woman, one of the things that they say is, oh, you know, everything I touch just dies. And it's kind of, I take that on as a challenge because I used to be a professional woman. I was 12 years in a corporate role, making, you know, a ton of money and spending it all on vegetables from Pack and Save and from Nosh and from all these other places. So, you know, if I can go from a professional woman to a whenua warrior and be able to build gardens to feed other communities, genuinely because I care about those communities being able to eat, then anybody can do it. Anybody is able to do this. And, everything you touch doesn't die. And it is as simple as learning the basics. So what I've been doing of late is teaching people the depth of the hole that you dig to be able to put a seedling in it, what you can use before you put the seedling in. So in my case, I use sheep pellets. Mm-hmm. And then planting the seedling, how deep that seedling goes, why you put it in a little bit of a raised hump, how to keep it watered, where to water it from. So it's not that I'm going out and teaching, you know, the six principles of Māori organics or, you know, Māori mataka and the lunar calendars. It's something that I'd like to work toward, but at the moment we're actually teaching the basics of gardening so that people can
keeping it simple
understand how easy it is. Yeah, that's right.
Mm. And these basics are so important. Talking to Community Fruit Harvesting in a previous interview, we were talking about how the art and practice of canning and jarring and preserving is falling by the wayside, and yet there are all these kuia around the place who grew up doing it, haven't done it in 20 years, but they know.
Yes, that's right, and it's finding that person to be able to champion that for their community. And it's funny, just on that as well, I went and did a garden build for a family and went out into their backyard, and there was a mandarin tree that had mandarins rotting on it. Mm-hmm. And then you go inside and they've got mandarins inside the fruit bowl, which they've bought.
Oh, no.
So,
oh,
yeah.
No.
Community fruit harvesting won't be too impressed with that, but... It brings it back to the fact that people don't understand their food. They don't know where it comes from.
That's right.
They don't know how easily they can go into their backyard and actually grow food. I've even had people say, oh, you can't grow food in that soil, and I've proven them wrong.
So. Right. And Community Fruit Harvesting would come in and clean their mandarin tree off and give it to people in need.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you have a tree in the backyard that you're studiously ignoring, or you only take the fruit you need, you can donate the rest. They'll come and pick it, preserve it, and give it to those who need it.
I'll actually be one of the people that come because I volunteer for them. So.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, so what is the process with Whenua Warrior? Okay, somebody puts their hand up and says, this sounds like me.
Perfect. The easiest thing to do would probably be to contact via the Facebook page, which is just Whenua Warrior. Mm-hmm. Send through a message and some details and stuff on what you're thinking about, whether it be something at your school or your work or something in your house or your church, anything along those lines. If you've got an idea, send it through. I'll be able to reply with what we can do. Even if it's just giving a little bit of advice for now, or if you're planning a, you know, big build to be able to feed a community that you're involved with, then I'll be happy to come out and have a look.
Okay, so it's primarily kind of like a agricultural advice service. I'm putting it in very pucky hot terms, but you know what I mean. Just phone me up and ask.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it's more to. It's allowing community, whether that be one person, whether that be 10 people, whether it be an entire school of 2,000, it's allowing people to understand that you can actually get help with growing your own vegetables, growing your own fruit, being a little bit more sustainable, connecting back to the land, whether it be via rongoā as well, Māori medicine, or whether it be learning more about what you can do or... using something that you have learnt, whether it be from your grandfather or your uncle or something that your family used to do, and implementing it, then I'm happy to help, yeah.
Fantastic. Now, something you mentioned earlier that just I let it go in one ear and out the other, well, not out the other, I've been holding on to it, is, you know, there is a difference between Te Awa Māori and Te Awa Pākehā, and in organics, that's definitely true as well. And you mentioned the six principles of Māori organic gardening. How does Māori organics differ from, and I'll just be very generic and say Pākehā organics, or what we would consider conventional?
Perfect, yeah. So the biggest difference is those six principles you mentioned. So the principles are based more around holistic connection, which is why I think I've taken on the responsibility of getting people reconnected to the land. But what it does, one of them is whakapapa. So whakapapa teaches you about learning not only where your seed has come from, but what went into your soil, what manure it was, what animal that came from, what that animal ate, what was sprayed on that kind of thing. So it takes you right back, and it allows you to understand that. And the importance of that is quite high as well. So the second thing would probably be Modi. Modi is the life force behind something. So understanding completely what you are doing within the land and within the garden, and how you are presenting yourself to the land and how the land is presenting itself to you. So seeing the smallest of small things. The Japanese have a similar act called forest bathing. So forest bathing is where you try and immerse yourself into a land and then see the smallest of small things.
Indeed.
And appreciating it. Then you've got Maramataka, which is our Māori lunar calendar, and the different actions that you take on one of the 28 days to be able to benefit not only you, but the land and your garden as well. So there's different things that you would do, working above the soil, working below it, not working in the garden at all, maybe doing your planning or maintaining your tools. And there's a responsibility that lies with the high and low energies of the moon that that you can learn about as well with Maramataka.
Right.
Te Ao Tūrua is something that you learn about your surroundings. So anybody who's planned a garden before will know what I'm talking about, but you'll see where the sun line is. You'll see where there's dips in the land. You'll see where it's most beneficial to do root veg rather than, leafy veg. So it's kind of understanding your surroundings, but not only in a physical sense, also in a community and political and financial sense as well. So as an example, you wouldn't go into, say, a solely focused Pākehā garden and plant ruruhau and kumara necessarily, just like you wouldn't go into a Māori-focused garden and plant only kale. You've kind of got to understand your community to a sense that it would be more beneficial if we did a hangi plot at a banai, not necessarily at a high decile school. It's about learning your surroundings, not only physically, spiritually, but also community and politically. And then we've got mana, which is kind of explanatory, but mana is something that you can receive, and it's something that you use and give to the garden as well. Mm-hmm. As an example, I think about the first time that I got a box of food and gave it to one of my aunties, and it was the look in her eye when she took that and said, "Did you grow this?" That's mana. That's the receiving.
Sure.
Wairua, so connecting spiritually. That is making sure you have karakia before you enter the garden and exit the garden, and also making sure that you be thankful and gracious, because there's a high belief that you connect to your food, and what you give it is also what it's going to give you back.
Yes.
Wairua, mana, pakapapa, maramataka, te ao tūrua, and last one has escaped me.
No, I think you gave me six.
Oh, cool.
I'm pretty sure you've given me six. When you hit Wairua, I thought, no, that's number six.
Oh, cool. Yeah, so those are the six, but there are some simple things as well. So, not simple, but some major differences in the way of... Organic is a certification that you pay for, so there's
an
annual cost that's related to being organically certified. Hua Parakore is a verification, so it takes 3 years to be able to verify your garden or your beehives or what it is that you're doing as a Hua Parakore verified garden. And what that means is that there's no ongoing cost for you to be able to sell it as a whole karakuri product.
Now, what is, and I'm going to mispronounce it, Hua Pakori, is that what I'm hearing?
Pua Parakore.
Parakore, so, okay, yep.
Yeah, meaning clean or organic food.
Okay.
And another difference is we don't use anything to do with your body inside the garden. So, you know, we're using human poos and all of those.
No night soil.
No.
Yes. Well, yeah, and for Western Pākehā, that's absolutely a rule, but in the East, that's very common.
Absolutely, it is, yes.
And
you walk into a garden and sometimes it smells like weed.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there's a few other differences, but I think those are the main ones. There's six principles of Māori organics. Then you've got certification versus verification, and then the use of human.
Sure.
What's that word?
Well, human byproducts of any kind.
Human byproduct, that's right.
Yeah, just to tiptoe around it. And what about the use of chemicals?
Chemicals, no. So, chemicals and plastics are definitely out. We encourage everything organically. So, the whakapapa I described before, that's as far back as we would need to go. So, we would need to make sure that the soil that the hay was grown in, that the cow is eating before we use the manure from the cow,
mm-hmm.
and the soil that we use is completely chemical-free. So it's something that goes further back in the
whakapapa of the garden,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
But picking up the thread again, what I'm hearing from all six of those principles is relationship.
Yes, absolutely.
Every one of them is banging on about relationship of various flavors and types.
And connection.
That's what relationship is. And I think our current cult of individualism, which is a global phenomenon, is disconnecting us. And not just from the land, but from a whole bunch of things in our lives and on the earth. And so actually just acknowledging those principles of connection and how important they are.
And how easy they are as well. It's not something that we can learn anywhere else except when we're kānehiki te kānehi. So when we're face-to-face, that's something that comes naturally. Whether you're introverted or extroverted doesn't really matter. It's more about I legitimately care about what your kids are going to have access to when it's their turn to put food on the table. You know, I genuinely care about that. And it's kind of an energy that's shared when you're in a garden with community that you don't necessarily work with all of the time. They genuinely care about that as well. They care about their kids. They care about their neighbors' kids, my kids. You know,
But that's a basis for connection, for community building.
Absolutely. And it's so simple. It's not something that you have to work on. It's something that's within you that allows the connection from people to people, but people to land and land to people as well. So.
Right, and you were mentioning professional women going, I can't do that, everything I touch dies.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
They're almost denying that very innate ability to connect.
Exactly, that's right.
The
need, maybe, as well?
Well, it is a need, sure.
Yeah.
And but I guess my point that I'm trying to make is that it's so natural that it's actually something to surrender to rather than to work hard at.
Absolutely. Just let it happen.
Yes, because it is innate. You don't have to be Madame Green Thumb. It'll come. Just allow the connection to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly right. And I think the reason I do it is for communities who are losing hope, because they shouldn't have to work as hard as they do to stay alive. We're also doing it for, you know, our kuia and kaumātua, because they shouldn't have a world that is full of anything except pride and mana and strength. And, you know, they've had to live that themselves. So why have we not given them the opportunity to show theirs?
Sure.
It's also not a it's not based on whether you're poor or whether you, you know, whether you can't afford to buy anything, because even rich people know how to need to know how to work with the gardens and get into the land. They should stop relying on the monetary system to feed them, because if the monetary system was to fail, there's still people who need to eat, you know.
Yeah, all of us.
all people need to eat. So it's a piece of knowledge that everybody in New Zealand, everybody in the world needs to know about, just how to be able to sustain a living and healthy lifestyle that you can be proud of, but also that will keep you alive and keep your family alive. And if I'm honest, I'd be incredibly embarrassed to serve the food that we have of today to our tupuna or to our ancestors, because their food was so full of pride and so full of knowledge and experience, and they shared it with people that they truly, truly cared about, and they would give their best crop to each other.
Sure, and most of them wouldn't recognize what we're eating.
Yeah, that's right. And there's a whole story behind where it came from, and you know, who helped them grow it, and that story is what we used to share as hapu. We used to travel between each hapu and share that information to each other, so that everyone's connected to everybody by growing that one kumara, you know. So,
well, and part of the gift you would bring to a pōwhiri is your kai to mix with their kai to consummate the pōwhiri, for want of a better word.
Yeah, that's right. And we would exchange the best with each other, not the, oh, you know, we could probably give them that one. It's the best of the best, you know. And our warriors and our women would go to the hapu next, you know, in 3 days' worth of travel, and we would give the best of our food to each other. And then we'd sit there for weeks, and we'd go hunting together, and we'd fish together, and we'd, you know, we'd sit there and we'd gossip about, oh, did you hear about that person who's having a baby with that person now, you know?
And there'd be an exchange, not only of knowledge, but of gossip and wisdom.
Yeah, exactly. And of the best food, you know, like it would be what we would do at the end of the season is, you know, go and see who we can give it to and create the relationship there and create the connection between the people.
Yeah, my father-in-law is a nutritionist, and people are always asking him, oh, what should I eat to lose weight or deal with this or deal with that? And he always asks the question, would your grandmother or grandfather recognize what's on the table? And he says, let that be your yardstick. Don't count calories. Don't get into all this stuff. Would your grandparents recognize what's on the table?
Absolutely.
And would they want to eat it? And, of course, now you know, I'm getting on a few years too. I would have to ask the question, would your great grandparents recognize this? but going back to your comment, would your tupuna eat this?
Yeah, that's right.
Is a fair question.
It is. And it's something that we need to consider, because, you know, what would they have served us if we were their manuhiri, if we were visiting them? And what would we be able to serve them now? What can we get from wherever we get it from to be able to put it on a plate in front of our ancestors? And would we be proud? Would it be full of mana?
Good question.
And that's, you know, yeah, and that's what I'm trying to work through.
Yeah, and the sale items from your local supermarket are probably not on that list.
Exactly. Yeah. The $4 bag of mescaline is definitely not on that list.
Exactly. Now, I'm afraid to say we have pretty much run out of time, so I'll just quickly ask you, if people want to get in touch, you mentioned a Facebook page earlier, that's Whenua Warrior?
Yes. So Whenua Warrior on Facebook would be the best way. Otherwise, I've got a Gmail account as well, and that's just whenuawarrior@gmail.com.
Terrific. Well, thank you so much for coming on today and sharing your story. I wish you the best of luck with all your community building, because that's what you're doing.
Great. Thank you so much, Rick, and it's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Kia ora.
Kia ora.
Thanks for listening. If you've missed anything in today's program, don't forget, You can listen again online at any time. PlanetAudio.org.